I wanted to watch this because anything that I had to say about it would be invariably cribbing from what he said, and I don't want to pretend otherwise. If you haven't watched Dan Olson's content folding ideas on YouTube, I promise you it is worth your time. It's better than anything I'd say impromptu. Man's got a script and a big brain.
On January 23rd, 2026, the Twitter account DHS.gov tweeted, "Americans have always known why." The attached video is a clip from Werner Herzog's documentary, Encounters at the End of the World, a segment that features a penguin breaking from the collective and walking off towards the distant mountains, to which Herzog says, "But why?" At this point, the video replaces footage of penguins with footage of Trump and his Gestapo goons in ICE brutalizing the American people. The intent here is to call to American exceptionalism, the frontier spirit. Americans have always known why, they say, because the pursuit of the majesty in the distance is supposedly quintessentially American. It casts Trump as the renegade penguin, a lone wolf hero breaking away from the herd, doing his own thing, an American thing which has presumably been lost. Trump, severing America's ties with its allies, warmongering, and his trade wars are just American individualism, baby. Don't follow that penguin herd to the ocean full of fish. It's very profound. It's a profound statement, and that's why this is a king penguin. It also attempts to paint the present as merely an uncomfortable phase that must be endured before a prompt.
He's so good. I feel like the thing I want to talk about isn't even the video, but rather how good Dan Olson is. Truly unrivaled in his field.
Must reward the long ice sheet between now and the mountains. You don't get to see the mountains if you aren't willing to walk the distance, which is a thing Americans have always known but simply forgot before Trump came to show them the way back. The murder of civilians, the brutalization of the populace, the state of fear, the concentration camps, the open admission to using ICE to punish Trump's political opponents to gain access to voter rolls. This terrorism is simply the cost of getting to the mountains where implicitly, America will be great again. Layla Cunningham, a UK politician running for mayor of London under the Reform Party, has also embraced this penguin as a symbol, posting an AI-generated image of her walking towards the mountains hand in flipper with a penguin.
Cool.
Right-wing politicians around the world have embraced this penguin.
Even the German foreign ministry has used the penguin video towards European unity. Yeah, the point, and the point he's getting to, not to like overstate the case or preempt it or whatever, the penguin represents glorious suicide. The penguin, the DHS tweet essentially is their version of that old Photoshopped image of the man looking through the hangman's noose, and in the loop that he's about to put his head through, he sees an anime girl reaching out to him. That is the point. The point is that on the other side, it'll be better. No, I mean it. That really is. It's an embrace of like nihilistic suicidality, right? Because they've run out of ideas on how to make the world better. I've been saying, the image in question, you found it that quickly? I forgot that the image was from, this is K-On, right? Of course it'd be a little girl, you know, typical of the kind of person who would find this shit appealing, but nothing's changed, has it? I was like 10 years old and nothing's changed. I've been saying this for years, that one of the reasons it feels like we're in a kind of collective civilizational decay is because the powers that be have decided that they have run out of ways to convince us that the world is going to become a better place in the future. Like, the given, the goal no matter what, is that more power and money must flow to the elite. That is like a non-negotiable feature of the world for these people. If you fight against that, you will be primaried, you will be removed from power, you will be disenfranchised, you will be whatever, right? At the very extreme cases, you will be killed. Like the woman who brought to light the Panama Papers, you know? So that's a given. The problem is that the political and wealth inequality in the world has risen to an extreme that makes it essentially impossible to you can no longer make the argument that tomorrow will be better than today. This has happened before in the 1930s. After the Great Depression, the world got very poor and very, very unequal. Wealth inequality was greater after the Great Depression than it was before. And the question then is like, in this post-Enlightenment world, in a world where the consent and approval of the citizenry is based on a collective assumption that the government, that you live in is working to make your life better. Like, you're not a peasant in a kingdom. You don't just endure your leadership. The whole point here is that the state is meant to improve your life. You're supposed to be working towards a project. For thousands of years, humans merely endured the state of the world as it was. The idea of a collective project that we work towards to better society, that's a post-Enlightenment thing. For the most part, people didn't think that way. You just had your family, and you had your farm, and you just live. And your life might not be that different from the life of your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, and so on. It's possible that 1,000 years could go by, essentially no change in the life standards of you and the rest of your family, you know? But now we believe in progress. Everyone does, even the fascists. And that was what happened after the Great Depression. It seemed for a moment that everyone lost faith in the ability for governments to make the world better for their people. And the world took two directions, at least the Western world did. There were the fascists who rejected the old modalities, rejected liberalism, and argued the only way to make the world better, the only big project that we want to care for, is race supremacy. Lebensraum, more room, conquest and war. We will return to the old modalities, where a civilization was, the worth of a civilization was determined not by some abstract measure of scientific or social progress, but rather by their literal might. They reject modernity, they return to the barbarian ways of the past, in a sense. And that's the reason why both in Germany and Italy, the big initial push for fascism was mostly born off the needs of the veterans of World War I, people who were used to death, who felt like their death had bought them so little in the previous World War. Meanwhile, over here in the United States, thank you, God bless you, FDR, despite a insurgent rising fascist tide in the United States, it was pushed back by a man who, for his many faults, made convincingly the argument that in spite of everything, the government could be used to make the world a better place. And as a consequence of FDR's investments into our economy, at the cost of the elite, America prevailed as the economic center of the world for nearly a century. Italy and Germany were left in ruins, and the United States, because it continued to believe in the social project, because it continued to believe in the idea of a nation working to use its resources to build people up to make the place better. Because of that, America was on top of the world for nearly a century. But we have forgotten once more. And now, once again, we are at the precipice. Do we believe that the government can be used to improve the lives of people? Do you like Zohran Mamdani? Or are you like the so many millions of Americans who believe the only way out is through the ritualistic suicide of the abandonment of modernity and a return to hollow pastiche, a kind of spiritual victory? That is what the penguin represents. We will abandon everything in the world, everything about life. We will abandon the metrics of our success, the matrices, you know? We don't need to care about grocery prices, housing prices, wealth inequality, infrastructure. All of these things are immaterial. The Constitution, immaterial. Your legal civil rights, immaterial. None of that matters in the pursuit of the mountains beyond. And what are those mountains? To the penguin, those mountains are the same that an Aryan ethnostate was for Hitler, an unachievable dream that could be used to justify infinite suffering along the way. And invariably, a suicide pact, because it's where you go to die. Those mountains are where Germany and Italy went to die, and it's where we're going to die right now.
When as a symbol of their pursuit of a distant ideal. But that's not really what's happening here. The penguin isn't just, like, wandering off to see some sick mountains, because it's never going to get there. There's no food, there's no shelter, there's no security. The penguin is going to die. Immediately before the clip in the full documentary, Herzog asks a penguin expert if penguins can go insane. So another thing that's implicit underneath this is the recognition that Trump and his cronies are on a suicide mission. They do not believe in the future, they cannot conceptualize the world surviving the present, and so theirs is an embrace of pure id, pillaging what future does exist to live out a revenge fantasy for no other reason than because they can.
I do think a critical difference, though, between this suicide pact and the one made by the Nazis and the fascists in Italy is that the modern fascist is much more nihilistic. I think that many of the old fascists might not have known that it was a suicide pact. They might have genuinely believed that they could reach the mountains, that after all of the suffering and the war and the concentration camps and the mass executions and the so on and so forth, they would reach the mountains and things would be better. I don't think any of them believe that now. I think now the difference is that now they know it's a suicide pact. Back then, they didn't.
Their only policy is chaos and hatred, because where they're going, they don't need policies. The actual mountains, America the Great, and its promised flourishing don't matter. It can remain a hazy shape on the horizon, because no one headed there will live to see it. Their only goal is to take everything else with them on the way out into the ice to die. Now, maybe that's just cope on my part. I, too, am human and need to rationalize the world as it exists, grapple with the future, but it would go a long way to explaining why modern right-wing propaganda is so grim and nihilistic, reticent to depict any coherent ideal, even an unrealistic, unobtainable one.
It's also the reason why the DHS and the White House and all the right never, ever, ever, ever post anything about the future. It's because they don't believe in it and they don't think we're going to make it. They only ever post about the past. Kill 100 million brown people and then America can look like the 1980s again. America, an America of only 200 million, and then here's a beach babe in California surfing or whatever. They only ever post about the past. In contrast, the Nazis did talk about the past and they hearkened to it, but they talked about the future a lot too. In fact, futurism, to a large extent, was a consistent project, both with the Nazis and the Italian fascists, right? The idea of an aesthetic and political future, right? They did believe in the future. They were crazy and they were violent, but they did think they were building towards something. I really do think that modern fascists, at least the people who are coherent and politically connected enough to post shit like this, are aware of the fact that what they're essentially doing is orchestrating a suicide cult. Not one of them expects to make it out of this. I think that all of them are basically just hoping either that the world forgives them when things move past this point, or that they're taken away in it, or that it lasts long enough that they can, you know, get their bag and then run. I don't really think they have a plan for how this country is to be steered into the future. They want the rapture first. It's not a coincidence that one of the most consistent bases of support for Donald Trump, now that he has very little support across the board, are evangelical Christians, a group of people who have prophesied the immediate end of the world for nearly a century. People who genuinely believe there is no point in spending time, effort, or money building up the present because Jesus Christ will return to the earth and whisk away the good to heaven, and the rest of us will be sent down here, you know, kept down here to suffer and so on. Of course, the funny thing is, they're the ones creating the conditions for the rapture. Their nihilism and their obsession with death is causing the country to decay, and that decay is what they're mistaking as the end times. They are literally causing climate change. These are the most resistant to anthropogenic climate change people. These are the ones who refuse that narrative. They're the ones creating the rapture.
Herzog intended for the Penguin to reflect on humanity. Encounters at the End of the World is unabashedly an anthropomorphic film about the stories that people read into nature in order to say something about ourselves.
These people are not smart enough to conceptualize any of this. For the most part, that's true. We are and always have been and always will be smarter than our enemies. But we have to observe in them this behavior for anthropological reasons. For the same reason Herzog observes the Penguin, we observe the fascist. Does the Penguin know it's walking to die? Probably not. It's guided by instincts we don't fully understand. We're only guessing at it, really. But it's still important that we know and that we try to identify, at least to the best of our abilities, why they're doing what they're doing and what they're doing.
And to that end, the United States Department of Homeland Security has looked at this Penguin and said, yep, that's us. We're doing this for no reason. We have no hope of success. There is no meaning to this. You don't need to ask us why, because you've always known why.
Thank you, Dan Olson. Truly the best guy at this. God, he's so good. Yeah, he really is. Bit scary though, huh? I really don't think we've ever had a global enemy like this. Usually fascists, tyrants, totalitarians, and the like believe in enough that you can combat their ideology directly. We did in the 30s. But again, those people did believe in something, you know? There's never really been a global wave of right-wing nihilism before. Well, the nihilism is actually universal. Everyone is feeling it. But this kind of like, almost like global death cult is unique. There's nothing else like this. This is entirely just here. I don't really know what to do about it. Maybe feel no. You guys are looking for examples. I have already thought about this. My brain contains yours. There are no comparisons to be made. No examples. It's I don't really know how you deal with that. How do you deal with the fact that they brag about it? Actual Nazis talked more about the future they were building. Yeah, nobody in the magosphere ever talks about the future. Have you noticed that? They really are like suicidal people, aren't they? They never talk about the future. They don't talk about things they want to build, changes they want to make to cities, nothing. They have no, literally like none. It's unprecedented in history. Usually authoritarian leaders are obsessed with building out legacies. For Trump, in his case, it's just the goddamn ballroom. But Trump himself is not the suicidal fascist. He's just the, you know, useful mouthpiece. What about the people around Trump? None of them ever talk about building out anything. All they do is spite. All they act out of is spite. They don't have any plans beyond that. They don't have any Putinism. Not comparable. Putin has, you know, by and large, led the country for decades, and he has shaped it, even if he shaped it in a bad direction. I don't see what comparison there is, to be honest. Where are the mega projects? Yeah, seriously. Well, very depressing. You're wrong about Trump? No, I'm right about Trump. You misunderstand my point. Trump is not ideologically fascist. He's a megalomaniac. He wants to build big projects, but nobody in the MAGA sphere, none of the people in the White House, none of the people around him, none of them have any visions of how they want the country to look in the future. They have not, they aren't trying to build anything. There are no institutions they're trying to build. All they're trying to do is deconstruct and loot and pillage. They're all just nihilistically weaponizing culture war talking points as they continue to carve out the institutions. But they're doing so in a suicidal fashion. They would be better off in the long run if they were smarter in how they did this. Yeah, they don't intend to or expect to stay in power. In a way, it's kind of like how suicidal people start giving stuff away or stop taking care of themselves because they think it won't matter in the long run. I really do think there's a parallel here. Neither did the Nazis. That's not true. Nazis wanted to build Germania. Nazis had like a massive super project. The Nazi vision of a future society might have been delusional and violent, but they were talking about it. They believed in a future America. All you ever see from these MAGA accounts is, look, here's a film grain shot from the 1980s. There's a great video on how modern liberals also lack a vision, which is why they lost appeal. Well, that's my theory for why the Democrats are doing basically nothing about Trump and the Republicans, because the thesis of the current Republican Party is there is no future, so all we can do is loot the present. And the response from the Democrats is, yeah, you're right, there is no future. Like, the Democrats don't seem to have any more compelling a vision of what the world is supposed to look like. You don't have to be a genius to see why the world is the way it is. Climate change, income inequality, the enemies are very obvious. You don't have to be politically partisan to notice them. They're objective and in your face. But Democrats offer no solutions to any of these problems, nothing but infinitesimally small, microscopic, reformist bullshit that does nothing but distract you while the same people as always get their jobs done. And I think that the Democrats ultimately agree. Like, basically everyone in power right now no longer believes in anything.